So Pastor Larry is away this Sunday, so I'm not Pastor Larry. It's true. So April 10th, 2014, it was a day much like today. It was a beautiful sunny day, not a cloud in the sky. And I had this airplane I wanted to look at in Maple Creek, Saskatchewan, which is about an hour or so east of Medicine Hat. So about five and a half hour drive. And we left fairly early and got down there and again had a really nice drive. And we hadn't been there 10 minutes and my phone rang. And there was Lori on the phone. And Lori doesn't call me that often when I'm away from home, so I thought that was a little bit odd. I answered the phone and Lori said there's been an accident. And so I thought, you know, kid fell down, whatever. She said, Evelyn has been kicked in the head by one of the horses. And she said, the Cremona Fire Department is here, and Stars has been put on standby. So lots of things went through my mind. Since before I was married, and we decided to have kids, one of my biggest fears was always that I would either have a child or I would have a child that would develop some sort of a disability that would require them to be with me as a child for the rest of my life. And as soon as Lori told me that, I thought, here we go. My biggest fear, and now I'm faced with it. I didn't know what to do. I was 5.5 hours from home. By the time Lori called me, you know, it had already been, I think, half an hour or 45 minutes since it had happened. And I knew with this sort of injury that things are developing quite rapidly and, you know, damage is being done as we speak. And there's nothing that anyone could do about it. You know, here we are in the country, we're an hour's drive from a hospital, but even by the time Stars is dispatched, you know, it's going to be an hour or two before anyone's in the hospital, and these sort of injuries, like I say, damage is done to the brain by then. So I asked myself, who's in control? Next slide, Dale. So Evelyn was flown to the Children's Hospital in critical condition. She was sedated and intubated in our yard before Stars took her. And this is what I was greeted with when I got there hours later. I thought I could drive like a maniac. You know, here's my excuse to do as fast as the car will go. But I thought the damage is going to be done before I get there. So rather than put myself in an accident, I would use that time to collect my thoughts and to prepare myself for the worst. And I was ready to say goodbye to my little girl. So I want to start this message this morning by prophesying to somebody. God is in control. It doesn't matter what's happening in the economy. It doesn't matter what's happening on a political level. It doesn't matter who's prime minister. It doesn't matter if NDP is in power in our province. It doesn't matter what they do about climate change, about health care, or anything else. God is in control. It's not the government or anyone else. As a child of God, your destiny is secure. God is your source, and heaven never has a shortage of needs. Heaven never has a shortage or needs a bailout. So I'm going to go into Exodus, chapter 1, verses 13 to 17. And I'm going to talk about Moses. So they were worked ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor and brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Sapphira and Pua, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. So this was Moses' fate he was faced with, right? He was faced with death the second he was born by a king that didn't want any Hebrew boys to grow up and potentially take over. So this story in the Bible, Moses' mother knows that she has no other choice, so she puts him in a basket and she puts him on the river and floats him down the river. She says goodbye to her boy, hoping that he'll survive. And what happens? Moses ends up in Pharaoh's household. So from his birth, the enemy was sent on Moses' destruction. That which the enemy had marked for destruction, God had marked for life. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. Moses was raised as one of Pharaoh's children. He had the best of everything in the land. And not only that, Pharaoh paid the bill for his bringing up. God had it under control. Exodus 13, 17 to 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, did God not lead them on the road through the Philistine country? Though that was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, ready for battle. So the Israelites are trying to escape Egypt. God could have teleported his people to safety. That would have been easier, but he chose not to do it this way. So there are many times in our life that from our natural perspective, there are easier and faster ways to do things. But God has a better viewpoint. Plus, God has a higher purpose. Too many times our only initiative is to get through it or to go through it, and we probably all know what that's like. You know, we'll just buckle down and we'll slog our way through it, and you know, on the other side, it'll be, well, at least we'll be through it, right? But God's intention is that we grow through it. We may ask, and I'm sure we all have all asked ourselves, why does life have to be so hard? And the Israelites at this time, they were asking themselves the exact same thing. So they were trying to flee from a people that were oppressing them, and here they are in the wilderness, in the desert. So Exodus 14, verses 1 to 3 says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Haroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. So next slide, Dale. So this is a picture I found of where they were, and you can see what it's like. Desolate. There's no food, there's no water, there's no plants, it's desert. And you can imagine if you were an Israelite, this is what was facing in front of you, certain death almost, and behind you, you know the army is on their way to kill you. So they were in such a horrible place that even Pharaoh thought that they were finished. So here are the children of God. From all visible evidence, they are trapped. There's no way back. There's no way forward. They are in a place no one ever wants to be. So the thing we have to fight is agreeing with the enemy when that's what the enemy tells us. There's nowhere forward. There's no way back. The devil knows the power of words. The devil wants us to feel lost and like there is no way out. The devil wants us to feel like there is no one in control. Fear says, it's over. There's no way out. Bury me with my boots on. Faith says, I don't know what God is going to do, and I don't know how, but I know God has it under control. And the more of a control freak we are, the harder it is for us to accept this. So Exodus 14:4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. So there is an enemy in your life, a battle that's been going on. It seems like you've got it under control, but you turn around and there it is again. You pray and pray, and you felt like you've got victory, but just when you start to make some progress, there it is again. God said, "The Egyptians you have seen this day, you shall see them again no more." So imagine that. You're an Israelite. The cruel people you've been trying to get away from are right on top of you again. You've done everything you know how to do. You're exhausted. You're at the point of giving up. What's the use? It's hopeless. I can't do it. So finally, you're in a position for a miracle. For God Almighty will do what you could never do. He's just been waiting for you to recognize your weakness and his strength. You'll never know God's strength till you recognize your weakness. The Lord told the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." As long as we think we can do it all, we give no room for God to do his work. So God may be wanting to do something new and fresh in your life, but he can't get it through to you until he gets you in a place where you can't do it anymore. Exodus 14:21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it to dry land. The waters were divided. So that might have been what it looked like. So there again, can you imagine? Here you are, a sea in front of you, an army behind you that's going to kill you. What do I do? You wake up the next morning and here's a path of dry land through the sea. So here's a lesson that will change your life. God works the night shift. The greatest miracle in your life may be 1 hour away. It always gets darkest just before the dawn. When they closed their eyes that night, there was a Red Sea in front of them. When they opened their eyes in the morning, there was an 8-lane highway. Exodus 14, verses 29 and 30. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. So here is the most awesome thing. Through the midst of the Red Sea with dry feet. Not only can God bring you out, but he will bring you out in such a way that you look like you've never been in. So he didn't just give them a boat so they could float across and some of them drown. He gave them dry land to walk on so they didn't even get their sandals wet. So I don't know what you might be facing today, but the Lord told me to tell you he's got it all under control. And if you'll just quit worrying and complaining and fretting and fuming and start praising him, he's going to turn it around. And there are some enemies that you've been fighting that you're not going to have to fight anymore. Exodus 14:30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the shore. So here the greatest army in the world was drowned in the Red Sea. Who would have thought that? And who would have, if you were an Israelite, can you imagine that? So stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is the word the Lord has today. God has it all under control. So, how did it end up with Evelyn? She had a hematoma on her brain from the kick. It was growing when she got to the hospital, but it stopped growing, and then it shrank. I asked the doctor what they were going to have to do. They said they could start with drugs if it kept getting worse, and if not, they'd have to drill a hole to remove the pressure. They ended up doing nothing. From the kick right here, she had a fractured jaw that went down like that. It didn't shift, and so they didn't have to pin it. They had to do nothing. And the doctors told us, children are amazing. They heal so quick in 3 weeks, you won't even know anything happened. So we have a happy, healthy child when I didn't know what we were going to have. We're all faced with seemingly insurmountable obstacles. I am at times. I don't know how they'll turn out. I know how I want them to turn out, but I don't know how they're going to turn out. But I do know that God is in control. So it's time to move over and let Him fight your battles. If you just stand there, right where you are, and let God do what He wants with you, God Almighty is going to step in front of you and your enemies, and He's going to fight for you. God is in control. Amen.